Cheap oil and its effects, we have two reports.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The metaphor of the season on financial markets is you should not try to catch a falling knife. The knife, crude oil prices, down 4% yesterday, another 3 2/3% this morning to $44 and change for a barrel, using the Texas benchmark. This after the oil minister from the United Arab Emirates said OPEC is going to keep pumping and not cut output. The suggestion here is that U.S. shale oil producers should do the cutting. And how does this play out in an economy? There's word this morning that inflation in Britain has vanished. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore is following this. Good morning, Russell.
Morning to David.
Well, the UK is a land of many virtues, but I guess it's not a place to find, at this point, any inflation.
Yeah, British inflation fell to its lowest in December in almost 15 years. You can all put it down to the price of oil falling in significant terms. The price of gasoline at the pump has fallen about 18% since its peak in 2012. That puts more money back in the pockets of consumers. If they had that money to spend, they are going to hopefully down the line drive the economy in the UK forward.
But you can't overdo it when it comes to prices that are stagnant or falling. Is there any concern being expressed by UK's central bank?
Well, there is a bit of a worry that we could get to the Eurozone problem. The European Union is very concerned that falling prices could end up in a downward spiral that sparks deflation. The central bank here, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, George Osborne, is going to get a letter from the governor of the central bank, Mark Carney, explaining why inflation is not at its target level. The Bank of England effectively has to get the old-fashioned typewriter out and write an explanation letter. We'll get to see that letter in February, David.
Right. I can hardly wait. The BBC's Russell Padmore in London. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Here in the U.S., cheap oil is also presenting a challenge for automakers that have been investing in more energy-efficient cars. At the big auto show in Detroit this week, Chevy has put out a concept car called the Bolt, a 200 miles per charge electric car. And Audi of Germany has got a hybrid that uses diesel, not gas, once the batteries drain down. But Americans have trouble thinking about tomorrow, as Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
It's a pretty well-established pattern. When the price of gas drops, consumers think,
wow, I can finally afford that 18-mile-per-gallon pickup truck I wanted.
John O'Dell, a senior editor at Edmunds, says in the latter half of last year, sales of trucks and large SUVs increased 8%, while smaller, more fuel-efficient cars dropped slightly. But those truck purchases might be short-sighted.
If you look at gas prices over the last 30 years, the inextricable direction is up, up, up.
Not all green cars were equally affected. Consumers pulled back from hybrids, not so much from electric cars. They're popular with early adopters, says Ben Kalo. He's an analyst at Robert W. Baird.
I also think that in Tesla's case, brand is definitely driving sales. In the U.S. at least, on the coast, it's become somewhat of an aspirational vehicle replacing the BMW.
They handle well, Kalo says, and people like being the first on their block with a shiny new toy. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Though the holidays are over, it's possible you still have a college student eating his way through your refrigerator with the dorms closed and dining halls shut down for winter break. That's the tradition, but here's the trend for college students, the staycation. That means schools are keeping the dorms open this time of year. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
It's lonely in Alexander Poling's campus apartment at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Like most students, his three roommates are gone for the month-long winter break. But Poling, a junior, has a job in a warehouse.
I'm working on campus, so I just don't want to make that commute every day.
Plus, he says he'd rather be here than back home in Sparks, Maryland.
Yeah, honestly, I like being on my own. It's nice. Especially since I have cats at home, and I'm allergic to cats.
As college campuses become more diverse, students have lots of reasons to stay. For the growing numbers of international and low-income students, a trip home isn't always affordable. Others hang around for winter classes or internships.
We're seeing a definite spike in students' need to have somewhere to be. So I think a lot of institutions are looking to find ways to accommodate those needs.
Allison Avolio is director of residential life at Johns Hopkins University. This year, for the first time, Hopkins opted to keep its dorms open for Thanksgiving and spring breaks.
Thanksgiving break is very short, so probably around 300, 350 students decided to stay.
Sophomore Jaya Jasti from New Orleans was one of them.
It was quite depressing. There was not much to do. I was just all alone.
But Jasti had plenty of company when he came back early from winter break to take a couple pass-fail classes and hang out with friends. About half the university's 2,300 or so residential students come back for what's known as intersession before the spring semester gets underway.
We usually play video games nonstop, like in our common room since nobody's here. We go to a lot of restaurants now, just explore Baltimore.
Hopkins doesn't charge students extra to stay during break. But keeping the lights and heat on may pay off in other ways. Students who live on campus and are more engaged in college life tend to do better in school. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And a senior German finance official today is quoted thus, "It is a day of joy." What exalted state was he talking about? Germany has its first balanced budget since 1969. No new debt last year. Critics say Germany's economy could use some more growth, and maybe now's not the time to keep such a tight lid on spending. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, Meg Kramer. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.